Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
But somehow, because of what they heard, what they saw, they decided that they did not want to go to Canaan. And we're going to see that towards the end, guess what happens? It was too late. The opportunity was given, but they made a decision. You know, it's like in life, sometimes we already have the answers. We know what to do. We know where the blessing is at. But somehow we just keep holding back and say tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And you're going to see how Israel, towards the end, they made the biggest mistake. When God had broken it down, they said, now we want to go. And you're going to see that they made a mistake right away, because at the end, it wasn't so much in obeying God. It was more about trying to do something without God, with their own strength. And they failed. But let's see what the Bible says. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. You will see quickly that Israel lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept. They complained against Moses and Aaron. I mean, it was just bad. How many know complaining is not good? They complained against the man of God, Moses and Aaron. And it was so bad that even the Bible tells us, as they were complaining and saying, if we had died in Egypt, or if we had died in the wilderness. I mean, why would you want to die in Egypt in the wilderness, or go back to the wilderness or Egypt, when God has given you the promised land? They even begin to say, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by sword, that our wives and children should become victims? And would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And notice that complainers always talk among themselves. Don't get quiet on me. The Bible says, verse 4, so they said to one another. In other words, they had their group and they were talking among themselves to one another, complaining so bad that they even began to say. See, they didn't like Moses and Aaron, what they were telling them. But see, we need to understand that it wasn't them, it was God through them. And they went so far as to say, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. They already had a leader. They had two leaders. They had Moses, they had Aaron. But see, that's what happens. When you start talking among yourselves, that's what they started saying. And the Bible says that when Moses and Aaron heard that, the Bible says that they fell on their faces. Notice, when Joshua and Caleb heard, what did they do? They tore their clothes. But here's the thing, church. Notice that from all the complainers, those that, you know what, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to, you know, we'd rather die in the wilderness. You know, we want a new leader. Complaining. But Joshua and Caleb, when they heard it, it's like them saying, you know what, that's not right. What you guys are doing. So they tore their clothes. But what I like about Joshua and Caleb, they were different. They didn't go along with the crowd. They didn't go along with the rest. See, Joshua and Caleb, they were not followers. They were leaders. Leaders don't complain. Followers complain, and they want others to do the same as they are doing. Are you with me this morning? But notice what Joshua and Caleb said. They changed it around. They changed the vibe. They changed the atmosphere. They didn't go along with the complainers. And notice that the Bible says, look what it says in verse 6. Verse 7. And they spoke. Who did they speak to? The congregation. Of the children of Israel. They were speaking to the complainers. And look what Joshua and Caleb tells them. To all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. See, they didn't go along with them. You know what? You're right. You have a point. We should die in the wilderness. We should die in Egypt. Let's get a new leader. But see, they didn't go along with that. See, the Bible says, last week I said, they were the ones that came back with what? A bad report. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you the ones that give good reports or bad reports? There's people that they dedicate their life to giving nothing. I don't think they've never said anything good all year. But notice that how Joshua and Caleb responded. Hey, that land that we spied out, it's a good land. There's a blessing over there. There's a blessing over there where milk and honey is flowing. Are you hearing me this morning, church? I want to remind you that there is a land, a Canaan, where milk and honey is flowing, where the blessing of the Lord is there present for you. Amen, church. This morning, you know, get your eyes on the Lord. And that's what Joshua and Caleb did. Notice, he tells them, a land which flows with milk and honey. And then, so they threw out something positive, like trying to tell the people, hey, don't focus on the wilderness, Egypt. Don't focus about other leadership. Focus about the land. Focus on Canaan. But then he tells them, Joshua and Caleb, they tell him, hey, man, he says, don't rebel against the Lord. Are there any rebels here this morning? I'm here to tell you, don't rebel against the Lord. Just obey the Lord. That's it. Don't make it hard on you. He tells them, hey, wake up. All you're doing is you're being a rebel. Just believe God. If he told you the promised land is there, the promised land is there. Why are you going against God? Why are you going against his word? And that's what Caleb and Joshua tell them. He says, do not rebel against the Lord. Number one. Don't rebel against the Lord. What's a rebel? A rebel is that you always go against what they tell you. They tell you to sit down and you stand up. It's about that. I've told this many times. That's the little illustration about the kid that the teacher gets him in trouble. He wants to be standing up during the class, and the teacher says, you need to sit down. And they go back and forth, son, till the end the teacher had him, says, you need to sit down. So the kid sits down, but on the inside, he's standing. You know any people like that? Play it off a little bit, but on the inside, they're doing the contrary. So number one, don't rebel against the Lord. Number two, right there in verse 9, don't fear the people of the land. You'd be surprised how many people would rather go to Egypt to the world because they are afraid what's ahead of them. Or what are they confronting? Let me tell you something, church. It's not worth it. There ain't no giant, there ain't no rebel, there ain't no nothing, no enemy. Everything Jesus Christ defeated on the cross of Calvary. You shouldn't fear anything. If anything, fear God. But don't fear man. The Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So number two, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Go for it. God already promised you the land. The land of milk and honey is yours. What is stopping you to move forward? What is stopping you to overcome? This morning, you need a different mindset. You need to renew your mind and say, you know what? I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. So number two, don't fear the people, man. And then he says in verse 9, look at Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb, they're just motivators, man. They're encouraging. They're encouraging them, pushing them, like saying, hey, don't miss out on the blessing. Don't let the enemy that loves to kill, steal, destroy, when Jesus is giving you a life and a life more abundantly. That's what he's communicating, Joshua and Caleb, to Israel. Hey, don't miss out on the blessing this morning, church. I'm telling you, don't miss out in what God has in store for your life. An abundant life, a blessed life. Why would you rather don't go to Egypt, go to the promised land? And look what he tells them. Hey, for they are our bread. Like basically, this is what he's telling them. Hey, they're nothing. Piece of cake. Si se puede. We got God on our side. Church, don't forget, when you're hooked up with God, you know God is on your side. You don't fear anything. You confront every giant. We don't forget about the promises of God or the promise that God has given you. And that's what they tell them, the Israel, hey, they are bread for us. They're nothing. It's not worth it, church, to be afraid. I never forget. This is a true story, actually. I know my wife's here, but she has an uncle, my father-in-law's youngest brother. And he had a court date. And at that court date, it was like already kind of like a game over. So they were about to deport him. And the judge told my father-in-law, pastor, who is now with the Lord, because he would represent men from the home, and told him, if your brother, and they told him too, is willing to go to the home, do some months, I don't know the time exactly, he says he won't be deported. And guess what happened? He decided to be deported. You know, and there's people like that. The blessing is there. You don't need to be deported. The blessing is there. God's blessing, the favor of God is there. God is telling you, hey, I got everything what you need, but you decide and say, you know what? I'd rather be deported. Egypt, the wilderness, Egypt. Church, this morning, I want to encourage you. Hey, they're bread for us. Whatever it might be, church, the promised land is there for you. So that's what he tells them. The next thing he tells them, look what he says. I'm in verse 9. For they are our bread. And it says, their protection has departed from them. Think about that. God is saying, you know what? They ain't got no protection, man. All you got to do is take that step of faith and enter. They don't got no protection. In other words, there's free access. Free access. Free Wi-Fi. Think about that, church. I'm gonna put it simple. The devil is defeated. He ain't got nothing against God's people. He has been defeated more than 2,000 years ago. That's why Paul said clearly, we are more than overcomers in Christ. We are more than overcomers in Christ. Amen. They don't got protection. Ain't no demon. There's no devil. There ain't no witchcraft. Nothing that can come against the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And then verse 9. Look at 9. Look what he says. And let me tell you something else he says. Let me remind you. It says in verse 9, the Lord is with us. Church, the Lord is with you. How many believe that? You're not alone, my brother and sister. Church, you're not alone. God is with you and will be with you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me go a little bit further. He's going to be with you all the days of your life. Church, God is with you. Come on, church, enter the promised land. God is with you. He is with you. And you would think, right? I could imagine Israel maybe listening. You would think, you know what? What a powerful message by Joshua and Caleb. They got down. We're inspired. I got inspired. I got encouraged. I came this morning to the house of God, and God is speaking to me. God is ministering to me. You would think that's what they were doing, but it was the contrary. The Bible says that they wanted to stone them. This morning, church, God is speaking to you. And maybe, I'm not sure. Because only God knows your heart. Maybe you're mad. You're upset this morning. I don't know what. But God is ministering to you. He's giving you keys. He's giving you reminders, solutions. That the promised land is yours. And the Bible says, look what it says in verse 10. And all the congregation said to stone them. With stones. Shh. Be careful when you're a rebel. Nothing good happens, man. And the weak go along with the rebel. The wise put a stop to it. The wise encourage. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. The rest, they were just followers. Yeah, you're right, huh? What are we doing here? The world is better. Egypt is better. onions are better. That's the world, you know. And it's so easy, church. It's the tendency of what we surround ourselves. Like I said last week, your environment is contagious. Who you surround with, who you around with is contagious. Easy. It's easy to forget what God has promised you. So they got mad and they said, you know what? We don't like your message. Your message was too long. Your message was too straightforward. Like some of you this morning, you might be thinking, man, Pastor, that message is too strong. Caleb, you know, in Joshua, they're trying to encourage. And the Bible says, and the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now, check this out. This is the way God works. Look what it says in verse 10. Now, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. God always has the back of those who do his will and obey him. What does the Bible say? The glory of the Lord appeared. And when you look at Joshua and Caleb, all they're saying is nothing but good things. Moses and Aaron, they fell to the ground. I could assure you, seeking the Lord, praying. See, verse 10 is a reminder that the Lord is with you. And see, in life, you choose, church. Israel, except the 10. But at this moment, Israel, they decided to rebel against the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, you would think it'd be the other way, but it's just them two. They decided to follow God regardless. They didn't go with the crowd. They decided, you know what? I'm a do God's thing. I'm going to follow Jesus. He's done so much for me. Because a lot of them recognized, and some didn't recognize, how good God was with Israel. When they were in the desert, God would take care of them. If it was hot, we'd put up a pillar of cloud, give them some shade. If it was cold, a pillar of fire to keep them warm. If they were hungry, God would feed them. And at one time, their shoes would grow as their feet were growing. I mean, you would think, wow, there's no way I'm going this way. This side is better. The blessing side is better. Not the desert, not the wilderness, not Egypt. Not Egypt. He's saying this side right here. And you know what God said when the cloud came? He says, how long will these people reject me? And you read how Moses breaks it down. Man, Lord, you've been nothing but good. You've been so good. But there was unbelief in them. They didn't believe. And church, it's time that you believe what God says. He already promised you the promised land. Get with it. Oh, Pastor, you know, I backslide. Slide back in. I'm struggling. You struggle with the Lord too. The difference is that you're set free. Come on, church. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, in verse 16, look what he says. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. Early is better than late. Now, notice, and this is where we want to be right here. Verse, I'm going to jump a little bit forward. Verse 24. Well, I'm going to read verse 23, then 24. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. I really believe, church, hear me what I'm going to say. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about eternal life. But I really do believe that people literally miss out on the blessing of God here on earth, what God has in store for you. And all because of the choices we make in our daily life. God is abundant. God is good. But we decide, or we posit, or sometimes literally stop of moving forward to what God has in store for you and for me. And here in this passage, obviously he's talking about the promised land. Promised land, it's not talking about salvation. Because in the promised land, there ain't no giants. In heaven, there ain't no giants. In heaven, it's nothing but glory, the glory of God. But I really do believe that here on earth, us as God's children, I'm going to be blunt. If you don't get your act together, you will miss out on what God has in store for your life. And that's a good life, a blessed life, to the point where you're doing God's assignment on your life. You know that God saved you by his grace. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's given you gifts of the Spirit. He's given you skills. But see, you got to use them for his glory and honor to glorify God. Because you're so good at it. You're so anointed that people ask, how is it that you do it? And you right away, you say, God did. God did it. I'm just his vessel. I'm just his instrument. Basically, what I'm saying, church, many people are wasting time here on earth. But look at verse 24. But my servant Caleb, glory to God. Man, when somebody's calling you directly, my servant, that says a lot. He says, my servant, Caleb, look what the Bible says, because he has, look what he says, he has a different spirit in him. Hallelujah. See, he was different. The New Living Translation says it this way. He has a different attitude than the others. Different attitude. Different spirit. See, the real you, your spirit, you're anointed, you're blessed. I'm going to go further, believe it or not, but it's biblical. That's why the Bible says that you are a saint. Not your flesh, this body is your sin nature. But the real you, your spirit, you're a saint. You're a man of God, you're a woman of God. Hallelujah, you're blessed. You're anointed. You're called. This flesh is a sinner, but not your spirit. Oh, that's too much for you. Let me move on. He says, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me. Look what he says. He has followed me what? Fully. fully. Caleb was following God, what? Fully. Many of you, some of you, you're on the E right now. It's time to fill up the tank. Fill it up. And too many people are thinking about the price. Fill it up. Pay the price. Good things cost, church. I said good things cost. Fill up your tank. The Bible says, Ephesians 5:18, but instead be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you're on E. You're just on fumes right now. Woo! And you're just worrying, am I going to make it? See, oh, now the Lord is speaking. Many of you are saying, am I going to make it? Why? Because you're on E. You're on E. Am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? 2 more miles, 5 more miles. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, when you're full of God, guess what? You're confident. I could go to SD and come back, and I'm still good. Hallelujah. He says, he followed God fully. The New Living Translation said it this way. He had remained loyal to me. Are there any loyals? I didn't say liars. Any loyals? Are there any loyals this morning? Hallelujah. You guys are looking at me strange. Like if I'm from another planet. And he says, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went. And look what he says. And his descendants shall inherit it. Basically saying, Caleb, you're going in, brother. And not only you, all your inheritance, they're all going with you. See, that's why you're the head and not the tail. You're the head. Men, you're the head of the house. I said, men, you're the head of the house. Are there any men here? You got men that the women are pushing you. You ought to be pushing. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. And he says, his descendants shall inherit it also. And I'm going to jump, but I do want to say this. That's why the topic, once again, early is better than late. Look what happens at the end. Look at verse 39. I mentioned this in the beginning. So basically when Moses tells the people, you know what? Game over. It's it. It's late. Look what they do. Look at verse 39. Look. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Look at verse 40. And they, my gosh. Look, did you just say it? They rose what? They rose early. Now all of a sudden they're getting up early. When the whole time God told them. Now they're in a hurry. Now they want to fix things. Now they want to do things right. But you're going to find out it was too late. And the Bible says that they rose up early in the morning and went up to the mountain saying, here we are. And we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, he tells them, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Like saying, it ain't going to happen. And then Moses tells them, don't go up. Why are you going up for now? You had all this time, all these opportunities. And he told, don't go up lest you be defeated by your enemy. He's telling him, if you go up there, the enemies are going to take over. And then this one hit. He says, for the Lord is not among you. But you know what? They still went. They still went. Now I'm thinking, I'm assuming they're probably, you know what? Man, we messed up. We lost the opportunity. And look what he says. Verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. Church, don't turn away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you. Tells them again. Are you getting church's message? Right now is the time to turn to the Lord. Don't turn against the Lord. Now. But look what he says. But they presume. They don't care what Moses is saying. You've told us that in the past. We're still going up there. To the mountaintop. But look what he says. Nevertheless, neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Here's the big error they made too. Because they weren't doing it because what God told them. They're doing it because they're afraid and they're trying to push things in themselves, trying to do things on their own, that they're such in a hurry that they even left without the ark. The ark represents the presence of God. Church, don't you dare try to move forward without the presence of God. Moses was the one that says, Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. When Israel was without the Ark of the Covenant, without the presence of God, it wasn't a pretty picture. You know how sad it is, church? To live your Christian walk with God and there's no presence of God. There's nothing more serious, more sad, to live a Christian life that is dry. No presence. Because you know when there's presence, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness. Did you get that? Fullness of joy. Without the presence, there ain't no joy, man. Sadness. Brokenness, depressed. But when the presence of the Lord is present, it breaks you. It renews your mind, your thinking. You check yourself, you check your heart, your life, and you find out how far you have been away from God. So they thought, it's not late, we still can go up there. We'll go up there. I know Moses told me, if I go up there, the enemies, you know, they're going to come after us. Well, we're still going, you know. Early is better than late. Again, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about missing out on what God has in store for you right now. And not only for you. Your wife, your family, and your children. Then, verse 45, I finish here. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. They tried, but it was too late. Now, church, under the new covenant, by his grace, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. See, some of you, you got to come back to the place where you know you have to be in your walk with God. I don't have to tell you, you already know. because you've experienced, you've tasted of the Lord. But don't ever lose that hunger, man. And when the Holy Spirit quickens you, obey. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.